This is when things were perfect. The fall takes place of man into sin in Genesis 3. It says in Genesis 2:18, these words, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." Verse 20 says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him." That word meet means fit, F-M-E-E-T. That word meet means fit. There was not a help fit for man. And we see that phrase in verse 18 and verse number 20. "I will make an help meet for him." I will make a helper fit for him. In verse 18, a helper fit for him. In verse number 20. And I want to speak this morning to the ladies in particular. And yet it's a general enough message. The men certainly applies to us, but the title of the message is called "Made to Minister." Made to Minister. When you see the title on the DVD or CD or whatever you get someday, it'll be spelled M-A-I-D. Made to Minister. Second definition in Webster's dictionary for the word "made," M-A-I-D, is a female servant. Mary, one of the greatest women that ever lived, called herself the handmaiden of the Lord. She just said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do." She was a young woman when the Lord came to her and said, "I need to use you. I need to use your womb to bring the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world." And she said, "Be it unto me according to thy will." And she said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." She presented herself to God as a woman and said, "God, whatever you want to do." And what she had to do was rough. She took a lot of flack for that the rest of her life. A lot of persecution, a lot of misunderstanding. But she just presented herself one day and said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." I want to encourage you ladies to consider that today, to just present yourself as handmaidens to the Lord, or as a maid to the Lord, made to minister. I want to show you three examples of ladies in the Bible who were ministers, and the greatness of being a minister as a lady, and the direction of their ministration, and how God used them. We need to be careful in this day and age, dear ladies, because there's many voices speaking to you from different sources. We have grown up in a culture that is extremely humanistic. We've grown up in a culture that's extremely feministic. And we've grown up in a culture that is fiercely independent. And these inevitably are directed against God if you're not careful. God has a beautiful plan for your existence, and ministering is a large part of that. If we should scorn ministering as a part of our life, that would be the same as scorning the very life and example of Jesus Christ. For he said in his own words, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was a minister. He did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you were made to minister. You were made to be like Christ. Men are made to minister. I know our roles are different sometimes when it comes to leadership, but men should be ministers. Men should be living for others and living for God. And women, you should be ministers. Ministering is greatness. The world will never tell you that. The world will tell you to be fiercely independent and make a lot of money and have a big career and so on and so forth and go up the corporate ladder and see how high you can go as a woman or a man, and that's success. But you know, life, this life today, we do not have in perspective. This life that we're living today is like the introduction of a book. I want to show you, I just picked out a book here at random here. Here's the introduction of the book. Here's the book. This life that we're living on earth for these, whatever we get, 70, 80 years, if God lets us, all this life is an introduction to eternity. And yet we put so much value in the introduction. And we want to write the introduction. God wants us to give this little life to Him so that we can be blessed and rewarded. We're going to serve the Lord forever. I don't know what we're going to do, but He'll figure out something. He's probably like my dad. He always figured out something for us to do. He wrote it down on paper so we couldn't say, well, we didn't remember or we didn't hear yet. God wrote it on paper, you know. Eternity is the long life. This one's just the short one. Now, you can take this short little life and be fiercely independent or feministic or humanistic if you want to. But, man, you're going to pay for that in the next life. You're not going to lose your salvation. But the Bible talks about losing rewards in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in verses 8 through 15. Talks about getting rewards or losing rewards based on what we do in this little life. Jesus was a minister. Ministering is greatness. In the book of Mark, in chapter number 10 and verse 45, we have that famous verse about Jesus. It says, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life for a ransom." But preceding that, in verse 43, it says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." See, in God's eyes, greatness is a person who is a servant. In God's eyes, greatness is a person who is a minister. When this life is over, there's going to be an exam. It's called the judgment seat of Christ for believers. It says, "So then every one of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things which we've done in our body, whether it was good or bad." There's going to be an exam. And this is the textbook right here that we need to study and live out to get ready for the exam. And ladies, the Bible says in Genesis 2, as we just read, that God's original intent for your existence is to help. To be a helper. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said that's greatness. He said the greatest one among you is going to be the one who is the biggest servant. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, you know what the Lord's going to say? He's going to say, "Send forward the servants. Send the servants up. Send the soul winners up. They come to the front." And eternity is a long time. I want to give you three examples, and I'm not against women reaching their full potential in life, and so as long as it's in the will of God, and I know there's some great women and strong women and powerful women. God's made them that way. God's made some women to be natural leaders, and they should explore the potential. In fact, we're going to see a couple ladies like that in the Bible before we're done here this morning. But I'd like you to turn over now to the book of Mark in chapter number 1. Mark in chapter number 1. And I want to show you the first example today of somebody who was made to minister. Made to minister. Made to be a helper. Made to be a servant. You know, a bird's not happy unless it's flying. A fish isn't happy unless it's swimming. And ladies, the thing that will make you the happiest in life is to be a servant. To help other people. Could be your husband, could be your kids, could be your neighbors, could be people in the nursing home, could be people in the church, whatever. Just be a helper. It is such a satisfying life to help other people, to minister unto people. Let us not scorn being a servant. Let us not scorn the very example of Christ who all He did was minister to other people. If you became a helper, a servant, a minister, you would be just like Christ. And that's what Christianity is all about. Our first example is in Mark chapter number 1 and verse 29. The Bible says this, "And forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him, Christ, of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Now notice this statement, and she ministered unto them. As soon as she helped someone else. I like people who are like that. As soon as they get some help, they want to find someone else to help. Just like, as soon as they get saved, they want to find someone else to get saved. That's how we ought to be. This lady is in bed with a fever. Simon Peter, that's Peter, his mother-in-law, we don't know her name. Her name's not even given. But this story was so important to God that it's found in all three of the synoptic gospels. You can read this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about her. And all it gives in any of the books is just a couple of verses. It just says she was laying there, she was incapacitated, she had a fever, and she needed the touch of Jesus Christ. But once Jesus Christ touched her, she was a healed woman, she was a changed woman, and immediately the fever left her, and she got up and began to minister to other people. God thought it was important enough to stick that little story in the Bible so that we would observe this and so that we would emulate her as women. As soon as she found help, she helped someone else. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 8 and verses 14 and 15, it says, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And Luke's account uses the word immediately. I want to read Luke's account, Luke chapter 4 and verse number 39. She didn't wait, but it says immediately in verse 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. I want to encourage you ladies, number one, to minister to others. Number one, minister to others. As soon as you find help, take that help that you have received and minister to some. As soon as you're taught something that helps in life, find someone else and teach it to them. As soon as you're saved, ladies, by the Lord Jesus Christ, save somebody else. Try to find somebody else to save. Try to find, don't go for years and years and years and years and saying, boy, the Lord touched me, the Lord healed me of sin, he took away the curse, he took away the penalty, but then you never tell anybody else. Boy, the Lord healed you from sin and the punishment of sin, the penalty of sin, and someday the very presence of sin. Immediately find a way to tell somebody else. We were talking to a fella and trying to win him to Christ. I know Brother John Bodick was ministering to him, and Sam Haslett, and Mike Gannon. We were talking to him, 57 years old. And Friday night, I was able to take the Bible and sit down with him and show him how to be saved. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. But he's been through so many things in his life. And you know, I didn't even get home till like 11 o'clock Friday. It was glorious. It was wonderful. But after he got saved, man, he had this just brilliant smile on his face, and he said two things that stood out to me. He said, number one, he says, I've been waiting all my life for somebody to tell me that. I've been waiting all my life. He says, I've gone to church, I've gone to Catholic church, and he says, I've been waiting all my life for somebody to tell me that. And then the second thing he said, which was impressive to me, he said this, he said, in all the things that I've been through, maybe I'll be able to help someone else now. Wow. I said, you're right. I said, those things you went through are preparatory. He'd been in Vietnam. He'd been in Iraq, 27-year veteran in the military, and just through all kinds of things. He's telling his mother died when he was a little boy. His dad died and remarried and all kinds of problems in the new home, and he's going on and on and on. I said, you know all those things. He said, I think I can help some other people. I said, you can. And that is the spirit of a minister. As soon as you find help, you want to help somebody else. Ladies, this is how God wants you to be. You need to be a servant. The The word servant means to be an attendant, to be domestically inclined, to serve, to wait upon, to relieve one's necessities, to provide for, to care for, to distribute, to sustain life, to supply. It's for men also, as well as women. We all should be ministers. We should be giving our lives to help others. And as soon, I want you ladies to see there that in Matthew 8:15, these other verses, as soon as she was helped, there's something about her, she wanted to pop up and help others. We don't know this lady's name, but she just reminds me so much of my grandma. And I know I've talked about her before. She's 100 years old. And she's like a bird now with a broken wing. She sits in her wheelchair because she's just spent her whole life serving. Grandma had 6 kids of her own. Every one of them turned out to be good, decent, moral citizens, hardworking people, never cost the state or the government a penny. Always contributed. All kinds of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, now great-great-grandchildren. Besides those 6 kids, she helped raise 32 foster children in her home, constantly coming and going. I remember some of those people. And she'd help the helpless and those that were down and out. It's just amazing to watch. Then my mom died. She took me and my 2 brothers in. You count that, that's over 40 people that she helped raise in her life. Never worked a day outside of the home, but boy, did she work in the home. Started having kids right during the Depression and always just relied on her husband's income and just gave herself a servant. And what a legacy she has. What a meaningful life she has. And as she sits in that wheelchair, she still wishes she served, but she's happy and contented inside because she served others. And boy, is she a hero. She is a hero to her kids, her grandkids, her great-grandkids, and so on, because she served others. Ladies, number one, serve others. Number two, serve Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Immediately, when you get help, help someone else. Ladies, if you learn something, tell someone else. If you've been provided for, try to provide for somebody else. Don't let money stick to your hands. Pass it on. And if you're saved, save someone else. If you found healing, man, here's some messed up ladies we're going to read about right now. But they found the answer. And they began to become ministers as soon as they were saved. They were ministers. Look at Luke 8. Are you a messed up lady today? Listen up now. It says in verse 1, there's some messed up ladies. Others are wonderful ladies, but it doesn't matter. God can use you all. Verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And so there's 13 of them going around as a mobile ministry. And certain women which he had healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Ladies, number 2, minister to Christ. Minister to Christ. These ladies, when they got the help they needed, some of them were sick and Jesus healed them. Some of them were filled with evil spirits. They were demon-possessed. I don't know how that happens. I don't understand all the doors to demonism and why demons seem to pick on some people and not on others, but there seems to be certain doors that people get involved in, and sometimes ladies get involved in drugs and alcohol and prostitution and pornography, and it just seems they become overwhelmed of the evil spirits of this world. This one lady, Mary Magdalene, had 7 of them in her. You can imagine that. But Jesus healed her. Jesus saved her. And Jesus healed Joanna, and she was way up. She was the steward of Herod's household, Herod who put Christ to death. Her husband worked for him. And she ended up getting saved, Joanna and Susanna. And many other ladies, we don't know all their names, but they found the help they needed in Jesus Christ. They were saved, they trusted in the Lord, and the Lord released them from all the power and the oppression of evil that was in their lives and set them free. That's why we believe in Christianity, we believe in Christ, we believe in Reformers Unanimous, we believe Christ is the answer. We don't have a 12-step program. We have a one-step program. Christ can set you free. He can. You need to come to Christ. Trust Christ as your Savior. And then walk in the Lord. And stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. And there is no problem a woman has, no addiction a woman has, no vice, no sin which doth so easily beset her, no demon possession, no physical infirmity, but that Christ can help her. But notice that as soon as he helped these women, they began to follow him around. And for 3 years, I've tracked this through my New Testament, for almost 3 years, these ladies went and were constantly ministering to Christ. One verse says, they ministered unto him of their substance. That meant their goods, their possessions, their wealth, their prosperity. They were givers. They were ministers. And I don't know, sometimes I make things up in my mind, but I'm sure somebody had to do the disciples' laundry. I'm sure Christ had to change his clothes. I'm sure they ate 2-3 times a day. I don't know. But I believe these ladies said, hey, we can help the ministry of Jesus Christ. We can help his servants, the disciples, and we can take care maybe of some of the mundane things, and we can provide them out of our wealth with some food, and so they don't have to get distracted in the work, and they don't have to be doing their laundry and fixing their meals, and they can attend to the sick and the infirmed and the demon-possessed and the lost. And boy, I tell you, I don't think you can put how valuable their ministry was to Christ those 3 years, and how they helped give him the freedom in a supportive role so that he could keep doing the things he did. And boy, he did some things, didn't he? The Bible says all the volumes of the books of the world could not contain the things that Jesus did in those years to help people. And I believe there would have been a detriment maybe to his ministry or that of the disciples if there were not some ladies behind the scenes who had a ministering spirit, and they said, Christ helped us, how can we help him? Ladies, live for others. Number one, live for Christ. You say, well, Christ isn't here, how can we help him today? Jesus said, in as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my disciples, you have done it unto me. Just find somebody who's trying to serve the Lord and minister. Man, if your husband's trying to serve the Lord, get behind him 110%. Get behind him. Get behind the pastor and the assistant pastor and the other staff members of the church. And what can you do to make the church function better? Some ladies are blessed with means. Once in a while that happens. In 2 Kings, in chapter number 4, there's a story of a lady who was blessed with means. For some reason, she just had a lot of money. You know, I think some of the largest gifts financially our church has ever received over the years have been from ladies. I'm talking widows, too. I mean, when we had big projects come on, they'd lay a big chunk of. And I can remember talking to some of these ladies and saying, boy, you don't have to do this. Man, don't make an emotional decision and just give your money based on emotion. No, no, no. The Lord has led me to do this, they said. And they gave large chunks of money to help build these additions and so on and so forth, that just from the most unlikely sources. You know, not the way I prayed or not the way I figured out would happen. In 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 8, it says this. It says, and it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. She was a great woman, but she was a minister. Great women can be ministers. Powerful women can be ministers. And she constrained. And so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread, as Elijah was going on his preaching circuits. The Bible says in verse 5, and she went from him, verse 9 now, okay, verse 9. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in hither. Let's put an addition on the house. That's what she's saying. She's saying, I just perceive this Elijah is a holy man of God. Let's put an addition on the house so that whenever he comes through here, he'll have a place to lodge and he'll have a place to eat. She's a great woman. But she has a ministering spirit. Let's help out the man of God. Let's help out the work of God. With what we have, she's made to minister. In Romans 16, in verse number 3, turn to Romans 16. I'm going to read verse number 3. It says, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla was a helper of the Apostle Paul. She was a tent maker by trade with her husband Aquila. And many times you'll find Priscilla helped the Apostle Paul in his itinerant ministry. In Romans 16:6, it says, Greet Mary, which bestowed much labor on us. Notice, again, a woman named Mary. There's about 7 Marys in the Bible. This one is a minister. This one is a servant. She bestowed much labor on us. As he's writing to the Romans, he said, Send her my greetings. Boy, did that lady help us out. Boy, did that lady help us out. I want to encourage you, ladies, be a minister. Made to minister. Minister to others. Minister to Christ, and number 3, minister to the church. In Romans 16:1, it says in verses 1 and 2, And I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. See that word succorer? Write down in your Bible next to that a helper. Remember way back at the beginning of the sermon? God said, I need a helper for Adam. And he made Eve. I'll make a help meet for him. I'll make a helper for mankind. And so he made Eve to help him. And that same word comes up in our New Testament about Phoebe. She hath been a succorer. She hath been a helper of many. She has spent her life helping a lot of people. Listen, a sister in whatever business she has. He said that to the church. He said, you take care of that lady. That lady has spent her life helping other people. And he concludes in verse 2, myself also. Why? Why was she such a helper? In verse 2, because she was a sister. In verse 1, she was in Christ. And she was a servant. That's what we're talking about. What is a maid? A maid is a female servant. Phoebe, sometime in her life, presented herself to the Lord and said, Lord, use me. Mary Magdalene presented herself to the Lord and said, Lord, use me. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, said, Lord, use me. And Susanna said, use me. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law got healed, and as soon as she got healed, she said, Lord, use me immediately. Who can I help? Let me spend my life helping other people. That's why God made Eve. That's why God made you to be a servant. I want to encourage you to struggle through and to struggle away from this humanism, this feminism, and this desire to be fiercely independent and live your own life and do your own thing and become a minister. Become like Phoebe, a succor. May that be your testimony at the end of your life. She hath been a helper of many. She hath been a helper of many. In closing, would you turn to Matthew 23 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 23, dear ladies, you're made to minister. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting. No, it is. It's very exciting. It's very fulfilling. These are the happiest ladies you'll ever meet. Those that just give themselves to be servants to other people. Why? The Lord fills them with joy. That's why. The Lord is the one who controls joy. He's the one that turns the flow on into our souls, and he's the one that turns the flow off David one time cried out after committing a horrible sin of adultery. He cried out and he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Why? It had been shut off. He lost his joy when he was living in sin. And he wanted that joy back, and so he prayed for that joy to come back. And ladies, God just opens up the conduit of joy, and it just flows into your life when you live for others. Remember the old acrostic? We learned it when we were kids. Remember that J-O-Y? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's how you get joy. Jesus first, others second. Notice in closing the words of Jesus, Matthew 23:11. Jesus always spoke the truth. He said this, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to encourage you to be a servant. That thought has been discarded in all the teaching and the training that's going on. I mean, we got little girls nowadays this big, and they're being taught to be fiercely independent. They are. The world, the educational system's teaching them to be fiercely independent. Nobody has to tell you what to do. You can be your own guide. You can be your own conscience. Do your own thing. And they're steered away from becoming domestically inclined. They're steered away from serving others. They're steered away from this great life of being a servant, being a maid. But there's coming a judgment someday, and the humanists aren't going to stand up for you on that day. The feminists aren't going to stand up for you on that day. The fiercely independent aren't going to stand up for you on that day. And Jesus is just going to say, send all the ladies forward that have been servants. Send them forward. Down front, ladies. All you that gave your lives for others. I want you to be near me forever. The first shall be last. But the last shall be first. Send up the servants. Send up the soul winners. All you ladies, I want you near me. And this life's just the introduction. The long life's the next one. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing now. Upon our invitation, we pray thy Holy Spirit would work in the ladies' hearts. We thank you so much for the good ladies that are here already. Lord, I think of some ladies that do anything they're asked. They're just servants. They do more. Sometimes, Lord, we have ladies in our church where I, as a pastor, think they're doing too much. Somebody else needs to take over some of the things they're doing. Lord, I want to pray for all the ladies. We know that Eve went down. This idea of humanism and feminism and being fiercely independent, it's not new. It's in Genesis 3. It's what the devil told Eve. You don't have to serve your husband. You have to serve God. You don't have to do what they say. You can do your own thing. She destroyed her life by that choice. She destroyed her marriage, her family. Her son became a murderer. She brought down the whole human race. Their sin, being deceived by the devil. Lord, help ladies. We're 6,000 years past that. Help ladies to see that life is empty. But the life that's fulfilling is one that's given in service to others, given in service to Christ, and given in service to his church. We're made to minister. Lord, bless our invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.